Great. On Shabbos Daf Lamed Zayin, there are three basic topics that are discussed. The first topic is that in yesterday's Daf, we questioned whether the requirement to do Grufa Ketuma is only to permit Hachazara, but Shehiyah would be permitted even without Grufa Ketuma, or whether Grufa Ketuma is necessary even to permit Shehiyah. Essentially, is the first line of our Mishnah that requires Grufa Ketuma a requirement for Shehiyah also, or is it only a requirement for Hachazara, but Shehiyah would be permissible anyway? So we brought and rejected one proof yesterday to resolve this question, and today's daf the Gemara brings two additional proofs, one that the Mishnah only speaks of Achzara, and the other proof in the other direction that the Mishnah also speaks of Shehiyah. Ultimately, we reject both of these proofs. The first proof was Rabbi Chalbo does not allow putting the food in the Kira, only putting food on the Kira. Now, if the Mishnah requires Ketumah for Shehiyah as well, what would be the problem with placing food in the Kira? After all, the Kira is already swept out, because that's part of the requirement of Shehiyah. The Gemara rejects this Raya that Rabbi Chalbo was not speaking about Shehiyah at all. He was speaking about Hachzara, about a later line in the Mishnah, which would be Asr even in a Kira Grufu Ketuma, and the reason that it's Asr to do Hachzara even in a Kira that's Grufu Ketuma is because placing a pot of food inside of a Kira is Mechzi Kemevasha, that looks like you're cooking. The second Raya the Gemara brings is that we have a Braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai permits Shehiyah of hot water on a Kira that's Grufa Ketuma, while Beis Hillel even allows Shehiyah of cooked food on a Kira that's Grufa Ketuma. So this can work with our Mishnah if the Mishnah requires Grufa Ketuma even for Shehiyah. If, however, the Mishnah would permit Shehiyah even without Grufa Ketuma, then this turns out to be much, much stricter than our Mishnah. So the Gemara rejects this Raya because Rabbi Yehuda, maybe in the Braisa, simply disagrees with our Mishnah. Who says that Rabbi Yehuda has to be in agreement with our Mishnah? Now, the Braisa happens to quote a sheet of Rav Meir also, which is even more strict, which has no resemblance whatsoever to the Mishnah, so it's not even Baba Cheshbon, it's not even something that we could take into account as being related to the Mishnah. The second topic the Gemara discusses is the Gemara inquires whether food can be left near a Kira that's not Grufa Ketuma, not on the Kira, just close to the Kira. And the Gemara tries three proofs. The first and the third proof are proofs that it is mutter, and the second proof is a proof that it's asir. The first proof of the Braisa is from a Braisa that allows leaving a pot on top of a Kira Grufa Ketuma even if an adjacent Kira is not Grufa Ketuma. So apparently the pot can be heated from the neighboring Kira, and that's permissible. The Gemara rejects this proof since the pot in that case is elevated slightly, and that elevation perhaps causes the heat of the other Kira to be very minimal at best, so it's not at all similar to a normal case of Samuch. The Gemara's second proof, which is not rejected, is that Rav Safra said, B'Shem Rabbi Chiya, that if someone did Ketuma, but the fire flared up again, it's mutter to put a pot near it. The implication is that it's only permissible to do smicha because you at least attempted to do ketuma. Only once ketuma was previously done, even though the effects of it were then undone, only then is smicha permissible. Otherwise, smicha would not be permissible. The Gemara tries to reject this proof, but fails in the rejection of this proof. And finally, the Gemara brings an explicit braisa for the third proof that permits smicha. So, strangely, the second proof is that smicha is usr. Gemara never rejects that proof. The third proof is that smicha's mutter, and the Gemara never rejects that proof. But it seems that the third proof is the one that the Gemara really sticks with. Then the final topic the Gemara discusses on today's daf is whether one can leave food that is fully cooked but is still mitstamik v'yafalo on a kira that's not grufa uketuma. Meaning, if you assume not like Chananya. Chananya would hold even if it's not fully cooked, you're allowed to leave it. But you assume like the Chachamim, that the food at least has to be fully cooked. What if it's fully cooked, but it's still mitztamik v'yafalo, it's still improving by staying there? Can you leave it on a kira that's not grufa ketuma? The Gemara attempts two proofs, that mitztamik v'yafalo is mutter, rejects both of those proofs on the grounds that both of them are speaking about cases where at least you attempted to do grufa ketuma previously. The Gemara has three versions of what Rabbi Yochanan would hold on this topic. Rabbi Barbachada thinks Rabbi Yochanan would hold mitztamik v'yafalo is aser, unless at least you attempted to do grufa ketuma. Rav Sheshes would hold that even food that Rabbi Yochanan would hold, like Chananya, Mishnah that even if the food wasn't fully cooked, it would be mutter. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda believes that Rabbi Yochanan would hold mitstamik v'yafalo is mutter. The Gemara then quotes many Amoraim who disagree with at least the last version of Rabbi Yochanan and think that mitstamik v'yafalo is aser. Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Nachman all hold mitstamik v'yafalo is aser. The Gemara says if you live in the makom where Rav and Shmuel are the Mara da Asra, so then you should follow the opinion of Rav and Shmuel that it's aser. And then finally, the Gemara tries to prove from the practices of various people that mitstamik v'yafalo is in fact mutter, but the proofs fail because we try to prove it from Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda was a chola. We try to prove it from Rav Huna, but Rav Huna's case may not have been a case of mitstamik v'yafalo. It may have been a case of mitstamik v'yafalo. That is Shabbos Daf Lamed Zayin. Next time we'll pick up with Shabbos Daf Lamed Ches.